just dropped off some very, very dear friends of mine at the airport here in Germany, in Nuremberg. I've been driving home. It's 5:10 in the morning right now, and I've just had some of the sweetest times of prayer and fellowship with God, singing, tears. It's just a wonderful. I had to pick them up at 2:45 in the morning, load up their gear, and drive a husband and a wife and a son to the airport. About an hour, little hour and 10, hour and 15 minute drive. And so a couple hours of sleep, get up, make this trip, and hour or so driving back right now. And I don't have long before I get back home, get a little more sleep before I head back into work this morning. But this drive has just been wonderful. And I was going to record something longer while I'm driving here and just couldn't get out of just prayer and time with my God. But I wanted to record something in my hope that I could share something encouraging with anybody listening, to say one thing here. I pray upon you true wealth in life. Real wealth. Now, it's been said that the rich buy assets, the poor buy liabilities. And that's very true. The things that you buy as a guy like me that doesn't have a lot of money tend to depreciate quickly. They don't increase in value. I don't have the money to buy a painting for $50,000 that in 10 years will be worth $300,000. I tend to buy things that depreciate. But you know what? I've got four gorgeous, wonderful kids. I have a wife who is absolutely every bit the embodiment of a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm going up in things right now. I have loving communion with the owner of the universe. Talk about assets. I'm an inheritor of heaven and earth. Been in Germany for a few years now, and as anybody knows that's lived here, it's remarkably easy to travel. Flight, trains, driving is still an option, and we've seen a lot, but I tell you, I'm not in the biggest hurry to have to travel to see everything, because I'm going to inherit a new heavens and a new earth as a believer. I'm going to get to see some pretty amazing things. I'm not in a hurry. I've seen some amazing things. It's such a privilege, but I'm not in a hurry to get out and see everything. Eternity for that. The cross of Jesus Christ has granted me access to a wealth that, to compare it with money, kind of helps us make some comparison, but it's an insult to the cross to degrade it, to imagine having the wealth of Bezos, the guy that owns Amazon, or Gates, the Microsoft dude. The wealth of these people is extraordinary. But to liken the wealth that I have to money is kind of an insult to the wealth that I have. And I wish upon you, listener, this kind of wealth. I wish upon you repentance. As Martin Luther said, repentance is the life of the believer. Daily repentance. I wish upon you a sorrow for sin. Because I know that it's in that that God teaches believers about the meaning of life. And what I mean is that sin is not the meaning of life, that Christ is the meaning of life, and that in our experience, God teaches us. So it's in light of the sun that the shadows exist. And so God designed a world that has fallen, and this was his plan, this was his decree, this was going to happen. And he has developed the world to be the physical, the supernatural, the visible, the invisible. The division between the two exists. To live our lives guided by truth, by wisdom, principle, and precept. That if we live well, we enjoy our lives. If we live poorly, we suffer. Suffer for our sin, we suffer for other people's sins. In this life, we will suffer for both. Christ is the meaning of life. He has illuminated everything for me. But you know, there's something about the sadness of the scenes in the movie that make the classical music beautiful. It's the good and the bad. It's that roller coaster of life. I have a inheritance, which is God Himself. Chiefly, I know that God Himself literally is the gospel. He really is the goodest news. And I'll know Him. See Him face to face. I'll speak to Him like a friend speaks to a friend. The prospect of that is both terrifying and wildly exciting at the same time. And I've tasted of it again, as I have now for 17 years. 16, give or take, 1 year. I've tasted again of His presence this morning. And yes, it's early in the morning today. There's been other times at 7 p.m. There's been other times at 3 a.m. And throughout my regenerate life, times where I wouldn't trade or substitute the joy that's in my heart for all the money in the world. I'd be tempted to, because I'm a sinful man. But there is something so sweet, so precious, and so wonderful about holiness and about Christ-likeness, the pursuit, the joys of living in fellowship with the triune God that aren't for sale. They are just not at all for sale. So what do you do with your money? Are you squirreling it away for a future day? You know, just building up the nest egg? Why? My advice? Spend it. I mean, spend it, you know. Keep yourself in the black. Money makes a very poor master. Makes a good servant. Makes a very poor master. So don't be frivolous, but spend it. Enjoy your life. Don't have kids? Why not? Can you? I mean, perhaps not, you know, perhaps it's not something you can do. But if you can, why not do it? Have kids. Raise them up. Christian. We need believers in the next generation. And the best way to do it is to feed them, clothe them, raise them. We started a new tradition in my family just last night. We do Bible study for at least 10 minutes. Sometimes it can take an hour. At least 10 minutes every single night without exception. Unless, you know, there's some real exigency. But that's our goal as a family. We study books, we watch videos, we do series, we do Q&A, we do apologetics, we do just straight reading of the scriptures, everything. Well, last night was December 3rd, 4th today, and we started a new tradition. And the tradition that we began will be a study every year of the Gospel of Luke, which has 24 chapters. And in this gospel, if you read a chapter a night, you can get right through Christmas reading the Gospel of Luke. Start on the first, 24 chapters. Come Christmas Day, you and your family have spent all that time coming to learn why there's a Christmas and who it's really all about. I just thought this was a phenomenal idea that somebody suggested recently. And so I have four children again, and the oldest is 12 and the youngest is 5. I decided as the head of the Bible study, made an executive decision, and this is something we're going to do every year. I love the idea. Love it, love it, love it. We don't do gifts for Christmas. We do sometimes little gifts here and there, but it is not a selfish fest that we want our kids to remember about Christmas. Oh, that's when we got gifts. Yeah, that's just not what Christmas is about. We refuse, my wife and I, to let our kids think Christmas is about them, what they want for Christmas. We refuse. It is not the point. But since I started late, a few days late, I decided I needed to go with the Gospel of John, which is 21 chapters, instead of Luke's Gospel. But we began it last night. And I tell you, the joy of teaching my children who God is and what He expects of them. Listener, I am an extremely wealthy man. A wife and children, but above all, I have a faithful God. I have a living high priest, Christ. I never tire of talking about Jesus. I just don't get sick of it. You want to threaten me with a good time? Let's just talk about Jesus. I'm in. I'm there. And what I thought tonight, as I dropped my dear friends off at the airport, and I've been in the military, listener, half my life, if you don't know me. Been in half my life. I was enlisted for a long time, pursuing college, but active duty as well. And then I became an officer in the Army back 2007, 12 years ago, almost 13 years now. And I've been in a long time. Lived in 17 different places in the last 21 years. It's required by my chosen pursuits. I have a lot of friends come in and out of my life. In and out, in and out, in and out. Go to a new place, in and out. My wife and I are in that season right now that every military family knows of, that here it is December, but come August, we're probably going to be moving. And this is a little bit bigger than a typical move. We will probably be moving back across the ocean. And every 3 years in the military, you can pretty much plan that that's going to be about it. You're moving. Sometimes it's less than that. Very few times it's more. But 3 years is the average time you're on station. And then you move. And so as gypsies, as such, you tend to make these wonderful friends that you then have to separate from. And that just happened an hour ago. 40 minutes ago, again, for me, about an hour. Just happened again. Very dear friends that we've had at our home so many nights for so many hours and been in church with them and worshiped the Lord with them and prayed with them, and our children get along and played, and my wife and the woman, just the coffees and the shopping and the Christmas markets and the whatever. It's just wonderful. But what I've asked myself is, Lord, when they think of me, this offer of just driving them to the airport, everything, little things, conversations we've had, sermons they've attended where I've preached. We didn't attend the same church here where I pastor at. They were at another church. But most of the time, I have asked myself, when they think of me, will it honor you? Not me. I mean, I don't, this isn't about me. And this is why I'm really recording this message. This is a part of my wealth and what I want to encourage you to, listener. Be rich in this. Rich in faith. The Bible talks about this. And often it is among the poor. God has called that. He chose those who were poor to inherit this promise. He chose that, the Bible says. Chose such. But what I'm saying is, did my life before them honor Jesus Christ? If it did, I can die happy. Literally. Literally. I can die happy if at the memory of me, even if I never see these friends again in this life, and I have every confidence I'll see them again in the next. And thank God for that. I'm so excited about that. But even if I never see them again in this life, when they think of Germany and they, all of their friends that they had here, we'll just be another couple in their lives. Will God be praised for our friendship, for my ministry to them, around them, to their son? He was in Awana. I taught him a few months now since we started the program here. All of it, for our love, for our prayers, for our fellowship, will they praise Jesus Christ like I do when I think of some very sweet friends of mine around the world that have stirred me up in Christ in all the ways they have? Friend, the fact that I truly believe and can have hope that the answer to that question is yes makes me one of the wealthiest men you've ever met or listened to. And I pray on you this kind of wealth, joy, and fellowship. Get to work. Serve Christ. Study Scripture. Get in a good church that does it. Study your Bible. Know it. I don't have what I have right now this morning, this immense wealth, contentment in life, in my triune God, because I sat around and binge-watched Netflix. Study Scripture. Get after it in your life. It's through that that God will teach you. If you repent, put your faith in Jesus, be born again, if you are in Christ and you're doing this, you'll come to know Him and enjoy everything you're learning. To long for it more. Get to work in a church to do this. Find a good Bible-believing Reformed church, preferably a Reformed Baptist church. Find one. Get into this life thing with them. And my prayer on you is the greatest of wealth that money can't buy, that you would know and enjoy life. God bless you. Thank you for listening. This site is here to that end for you in every way that I can be. I'm home now. Parking my car in my driveway, and I'm going to go inside. So thank you for listening, and I pray that this is something in your life to think about that draws you closer to Christ today.